Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a supplemental video from the Old Testament Survey course. In this section, we'll be elaborating on and clarifying some issues that came up in the story of Abraham in the book of Genesis. When we looked at the promise of blessing which God gave to Abraham, we noticed the similarities of that promise with the promise of scrub, which we learned earlier in the section on the key themes of God's design. Therefore, this section is to go into more detail how these concepts are related. How does the promise to Abraham relate to scrub? And how do each of the four parts of scrub relate to each other? And what difference does this make for our understanding of the Old Testament and for our Christian life? Those are the questions that we'll explore in this video. But first, let's briefly review the concept of scrub. Scrub stands for salvation, that God will rescue us from that which is harming us, that can be enemies and situations in this life, but primarily he rescues us from our greatest enemy, which is sin and its punishment of death. And then community, that God will place us in relationship with other people with a similar experience of salvation and relationship with God, that we would love one another and help one another to grow in God. And relationship, that refers to that we would have relationship with God, knowing and experiencing him personally in all his awesomeness. And finally, blessing, that we would experience the benefits of God's goodness and provision in all parts of life. That is the things that we're talking about with the shorthand acronym SCRUB. Now let's briefly review the promise which God gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. First, God commanded Abram to leave his home and travel to a place God would show him. Then he said, I will make you into a great nation. Then God promised, I will bless you. He said, I will make your name great. And then God told Abram, you will be a blessing. God said, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And finally, God promised, every tribe of the earth will be blessed through you. Now notice that these promises are promises of scrub. But when you look at what God promised Abraham, you might be thinking that, well, community and blessing are overly represented in these promises, and salvation and relationship with God seem to be lacking. So have I misled you? Is there a mistake? Is it so one-sided that it's all about blessing and little else? Well, some have come to that conclusion, but I think they're mistaken. Where is salvation and relationship in this whole promise to Abraham then? In the patriarch story as a whole? Well, I think that they underlie the whole thing. Remember the context of the patriarchs. Genesis chapters 3 through 11 tell of a broken world with broken relationships, thus showing the absolute necessity of salvation. Salvation is the assumed foundation of all these promises. It is a necessary prerequisite before any of these promises can take place. And in this particular story, remember that God had called Abraham out of Ur in Babylon. God separated him from his pagan past before he could experience any of the promised blessings. And in the same way, relationship with God is almost assumed as the necessary foundation for everything else. None of these blessings could ever happen without relationship to God, because they all come from God. So likewise, relationship with God is absolutely fundamental to everything. It's not absent, but it is everywhere in the story, like the air we breathe but can easily ignore. Salvation as a restored relationship with God is a prerequisite to relationship with God from which everything else comes. But as we see in all the Bible, this salvation comes from God as a gift, not as something we can fix for ourselves. Now, let's look more carefully at the four items of scrub. What are the relationships between these four things? Well, the interaction of these four concepts is complicated, as we see it played out and described in the rest of the Bible. and misunderstanding their interconnectedness has caused many problems. So I wanted to elaborate on the priorities and interrelationships of Scrub. And as we work through this material, please check to see if the Bible backs up what I'm saying. And if it does, believe it and practice it. And I want to describe how these things are related in a number of different ways. No one way describes it all, because they're interrelated in many ways in a complex web of reinforcing relationships. So please don't think of this only in one way, but try to keep all of these things, all of these ways of describing it together in your mind. And I think you'll find that they all reflect the reality described in the Bible and experienced in a growing Christian life. First, let me start with a metaphor. Have you ever seen one of these? I'm assuming you have. Think about what is its purpose. And let me ask you, what do you think is the most important part of the truck? Is it the front part with the engine or the back part with all the cargo? Well, let me suggest that I think both are important. Without the engine, the cargo does not get there. And without the cargo, there's no point in going there in the first place. Now, one other thing that you probably didn't think about is also important, and that's the road itself. The road is necessary for the engine to get the cargo where it's going. So in this metaphor, I'm likening the road to salvation. It is necessary to make a way for relationship, community, and blessing to get to us. Without the road, the truck doesn't get there. Without salvation, we don't experience community, relationship, and blessing. And relationship with God is like the engine that drives and brings everything else. And then community and blessing are like the cargo that automatically comes when relationship with God happens. Too often people focus on pursuing community and blessings without thinking about relationship with God. Everyone wants to be loved and to be happy. But like a semi-trailer, they will never show up on their own without the engine pulling them. However, when the engine comes, these things come automatically because they are hooked together. If you want blessing and a community, pursue relationship with God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Real, lasting blessings cannot be had without God, but rather they are the result of a growing relationship with God. Now, this metaphor breaks down a bit because relationship with God is not just the thing that causes blessing, but knowing God is the primary and most important blessing. And we don't experience any of them unless salvation makes a way for them to get to us. So, now, let me change the metaphor slightly to focus on salvation. Salvation, I think, is two-sided. First, it is salvation from something. That is, salvation is the smashing of those roadblocks that keep us from relationship, community, and blessing. But it is also salvation to something. It makes a way for us to experience relationship with God, blessing, and community. But, like I said, we can also look at these things from another angle. We can look at it in terms of blessing. Now, community and relationship are two primary examples of blessing, along with a whole bunch of other temporal and eternal blessings. And we can never think of blessings apart from these. When God promises Abraham blessing, he's primarily promising relation with himself. He's promising nothing apart from himself. And his blessings bring us into the community of his people. It is a package deal. So it is true that salvation, relationship, and community can be thought of as prime examples of blessing. But I think it's more true to say that relationship with God is primary. And all these others flow from relationship with God. Relationship with God summarizes all the other three and is primary. Again, seek first God's kingdom. And Jesus said that eternal life is to know him. You see, Relationship with God is an end in itself. It should never be just a means to an end, to get blessing or salvation or community. Remember, God's primary goal is that you will know that I am Yahweh. Relationship with God is central. The whole universe is about God, and knowing Him is the most important thing. Therefore, anything that takes the focus off of God and puts it onto us or on our blessings is actually out of balance. Therefore, relationship with God is most important. That is the essence of Christianity. I think Paul demonstrates this in his own attitude when he writes, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death." And David wrote, "I said to the Lord, You are my Lord. Apart from You, I have no good thing." And Asaph said, "Whom have I in heaven but You? And earth has nothing I desire beside You." You see, if we place anything else as more important than relationship with God, I don't think it's Christianity any longer. Rather, it has fallen down into idolatry. So watch out that your blessings don't become a hindrance to relationship with God. And God actually warns us against this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where He says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, the thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble you and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed." So please, take this warning seriously and don't forget your first love, because it's easier to do than you think. Regularly examine your heart to make sure that your love for Jesus is growing and that you love God Himself more than the stuff He does for you. Now, of course, we should delight in His salvation, in His blessings, and in His people. But let these things fuel your delight for God Himself most of all. All right, that is the sum of this brief digression into the interrelationships of Scrub and God's promise of blessing. And I pray that this is helpful and that you find ways to put these insights into practice in your life. In the next section, we'll start working through the book of Exodus. Thanks for watching.